flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Thanks to my guy, Rocky Pinnick, who is a faithful and longtime listener to this radio show, Graham, who was the listener that sent in the package that had, the fluffy, soft grimace within the carton of paper French fries from McDonald's the other day that we mentioned. And the reason why Rocky did that is because a certain somebody who shall go nameless threw out the tributes to Grimace that we had and that even, again, we had a toy Grimace that was part of the studio setup here that the late, great Pete Medhurst had brought in. And it was thrown out, or it was demolished, or it was gotten rid of because somebody didn't like it. So Rocky sent this, I'll put the picture out. I just got reminded to take a picture of it and to put it out. But I wanted to thank him personally because he's no longer on Twitter and X, you know, because, you know, a lot of people have gone obviously a different direction for different reasons that they have. So thank you, Rocky. I appreciate it. Very much unfortunately, this week some things went awry and, we didn't get to show off our new studio friend to anybody else is how I'll leave that. All right. So I just wanted to wrap up real quickly again on the whole name issue. And the reason why we brought it up was because it reared its ugly head again earlier this week. And then on top of that, I saw the Nashville WNBA hopeful franchise being named the Tennessee Summit, which again made sense, certainly because of Pat Summit and so on and so forth and what she meant to that area. And then I saw the Utah Hockey Club putting their name up to vote. And again, I do think that people would have embraced it more if they felt like they had some sort of choice in it. Now, it probably wouldn't have been Commanders. But if it was, I don't know, Commanders, Armada, and Spartans. Because, again, make no mistake about it, the Utah Hockey Club, after submitting an initial list of 20 names, is now putting up a name for a vote that wasn't on the initial list of 20 names. Right? Again, teams do things differently, different markets, different cities, what have you. This was just a way to address the current clamor that I did not start, that my colleague Kevin Sheehan started and mentioned and alluded to again with his guest John O'Ran, yesterday when they were talking about television ratings, another thing that drives me absolutely bonkers. And the thought became, and I heard, is the reason why the Commanders were like 21st in television ratings locally this year is because people have rejected the name Commanders. That was something that got back to me. I forget who said, maybe it was Sabah, I can't remember. And I said, no, not in any way, shape, or form. Number one, television ratings, as we always tell you, are not accurate. They are based on a minute, ridiculously minuscule sampling of homes. And a mathematical formula is derived from that. And people gobble it up. For what reason they have, I have no idea. I never, ever, ever in a million years will we gobble that up. Because we simply want truth and reality. Okay? If we're going to have a vote, let's have a vote. Let's be able to keep technology. It's 2025. Let's find a way to see who actually is watching, who actually is listening, who actually is buying, who is going where, who is not going where. Let's have a vote. Let's have reality. Okay? But anyway, some people drew that comparative. Oh, the Commanders were 21st in local television ratings because people have rejected the Commanders' name. And again, that is one way to look at it. That is a convenient thought process. The reality is it takes a long time. It takes a long time. And it takes more than one interesting good year. And that turned out to be a great year. It takes a long time to reverse the damage that was inflicted on this fan base on an entire generation plus to come back or to come aboard, right? It takes a long time. We should not be surprised by this, people. And I would tell you in my heart of hearts, even if those television ratings are accurate, and I don't believe they are, even if they were accurate, I'm telling you in my heart of hearts, if you polled each and every individual person that chose not to watch the Commanders, and you said, hey, man, you're a Commanders fan? Yes. Check. Why didn't you watch the games? Well, I watched some of them. I watched none of them. I'm out. I was out. It has nothing to do with, or very little to do with, the Commander's name. Redskins? Different. Commanders? Very different. Commanders, not the cause. Redskins, different. But more importantly, it has everything to do with 30 years of being kicked in the nuts. Or the abdomen, if you don't have those. Which some of you don't. Okay, wanted to move along. So here's what I wanted to ask you guys at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. And that is this. Earlier in the show, we asked the most important thing that we discovered about the 2024 season: franchise quarterback, a culture slash brotherhood, experience, stability, home base foundation. So yesterday when I was driving home, I heard a caller, I believe on Craig Hoffman's show, because I go back and forth between Hoffman and Grant and Danny. I believe it was on Hoffman's show. And that's what I'm sticking to. But the caller referred to the show, or the season, because Craig was basically asking for your most favorite memory, what have you. And the caller referred to it as a magic carpet ride. A magic carpet ride. And I thought to myself, I've used that term. I've used that to describe not this year, but to describe 2015 into 2016 when they won a bunch of games in December and Kirk Cousins got hot as a firecracker and Jay Gruden and Jordan Reed and so on and so forth. And they won a bunch of games in December. They blew out the Bills. They blew out the Saints. They won in Philadelphia on a Saturday night, had a 12-0 lead or whatever, 11-0, whatever it was, against the Packers in the playoff game, eventually fell apart, whatever, and never really recovered from there. I used magic carpet ride in a sense to describe the 7-game winning streak at the end of 2012, which culminated in a magical night at FedEx Field, then FedEx Field, now Northwest Stadium, winning the division on a Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. But they were 3-6 at one point. So you can't say, oh, it's exactly the same ride as what Jaden Daniels gave them. I used the term magic carpet ride then. In some ways, and this was before, while I was living here, but not covering the team, back in 2007, after Sean T passed away tragically, they win on that Thursday night right after the funeral, right? They lose the Bills game with the crazy double timeout thing. At the end on the Sunday, they have the funeral on Tuesday. They come back and play on a Thursday night against Chicago. Todd Collins, they win that game. They win, I think, 4 in a row after that. They make the playoffs. That was kind of a magic carpet ride, right? I mean, higher powers involved, a team given up for, well, you know, a team dealing with a terrible tragedy, all of that. Even in 2005, year two of Joe Gibbs, they went on a hot streak at the end that culminated with a big road win in Philadelphia. I remember Clinton Portis just going off. And they got into the playoffs and they won a playoff game and so on and so forth. And we all know before this year, that was the last time they had won a playoff game. I referred to that kind of as a magic carpet ride. But I truly and honestly don't believe, I truly and honestly believe that this year, the caller referred to it as a magic carpet ride. I don't refer to it as a magic carpet ride. Because to me, the term magic carpet ride, the way I think about it, is, hey man, you got a little bit of luck. You weren't supposed to be here. You somehow, some way, by the grace of the football gods, did enough right to barely squeak through. You got really hot at the end. This team got hot again at the end. This team had some luck. They had elements of a magic carpet ride. But the reason why, for me, it wasn't a magic carpet ride is because they weren't average, really, at any point during the season. Sure, they were 0-1. And could have easily been 0-2. Sure, they went through a 3-game losing streak. But that was to drop from 7-2 to 7-5. Again, there was no there was no correlation between Jaden Daniels and a Jaden Daniels-led Washington NFL team. And say Robert Griffin or what they overcame in 2005, 2008, and even 2015 into 2016. In Kirk's first year there as a starter, they went back and forth, up and down, back and forth. You know, and remember what do they call that? The Code Red game that Jay, you know, put down against Tampa, and they were way down early, and they had the massive comeback. To me, those years, and maybe I'm stretching, they were a little bit more of a magic carpet ride type team or year. I don't believe this was. Even though. They had luck. Yes, we all know that. They had luck. Lots of people have pointed out how lucky they were. They were unlucky in some ways, too. People never point that out. But they had luck, and I get it. I'm not saying that there wasn't a little bit of genie hocus pocus, whatever you want to call it, looking out for them. But I truly believe this was legit. Why? A, they had the best quarterback that they've had. B, they have the right leadership and structure. C, they have the right ownership. D, they had the right mix of veterans and leadership. and young players. And most importantly, again, they started 7-2. It's not like they had to come from way back to win the last six or seven games of the year in order to squeeze into the playoffs. It's not like they were 7-6-9 going to Philadelphia in 2020 in a horrible division, won a Sunday night game because the Eagles benched Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld, ultimately, and they won a game. That was a little bit of a magic carpet ride. Winning a division at 7-9 is a magic carpet ride. I forgot to include that in my mix. Right? It wasn't like they had to win every single last game for the last six, seven games to get in. Yes, they had to win a lot. Yes, they clinched the division in overtime, second to last week of the season. But the point was, they still had another week to do it, so they didn't have to technically win all of those games like they did in 2005, like they did in 2007, like they did in 2012 when they went on a seven-game winning streak. So to me, I don't look at this team, and maybe I'm wrong, as a magic carpet ride team. Elements of it, elements of good fortune and success, sure. But I look at it as a team that some things came together quicker than expected, most notably the rookie quarterback and the number two overall pick, and the new organized locker room. When I say organized locker room, I mean changing over 65, 70% of the roster, creating that brotherhood thing, the new coaching staff, the new GM, his new staff, the new ownership, which had been in place for a couple of months before those guys got here. I don't look at that as a genie in a bottle, a magic carpet ride, some magic elixir, something that is not sustainable. So the question is to you at 301-230-0980, how do you describe this season's success, this season's path, this season's journey? For me, again, I can't say it was expected. That's wrong. But I also can't say it was a magic carpet ride. So what I've kind of settled on, it was a journey. It was a football journey that sometimes we see where a lot of things come together at the right time. And you know what? It happens more often than people realize. And it happened just the year before that, when a lot of things came together, including the number two overall pick and rookie quarterback and C.J. Stroud for the Houston Texans. Sometimes, guys, these things happen. And it's not magic, and it's not Houdini, and it's not a genie in a bottle, and it's not pure luck, and it's not horseshoe up your ass. Right? It's not any of that. The little sprinkles of it. But it's not that as a main figure, as a main thing. So what was it? How would you describe it? And if you think it was a magic carpet ride, I disagree, but you're entitled to that. Let's take some calls on that. 301-230-0980. We'll get to Sean in Connecticut. We'll get to Franco. We'll get to you if you want to hop in. We've got a couple of segments to take your calls. Was it a magic carpet ride, or how else would you describe it? Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
All right, good to have you with us right here. 323 on the Team 980. got to get to something and clean up on aisle three, which we'll try and squeeze in towards the end of the show before Dumb Dumb of the Day as well. Lots of reaction on social media to what we were discussing last hour and into the beginning of this hour. And then I asked, was this a magic carpet ride? Somebody called in, I think it was on Craig's show yesterday, I was listening to while I was stuck in never-ending traffic, and they said it was a magic carpet ride. Mo, at Maurice Fort DC, says, there's no such thing as a magic carpet ride, so there's no way to be so judgmental as to its meaning. I don't think I was being judgmental. I was just saying, I've used that term to describe other Commanders slash Redskins seasons before. I don't agree with this year, it being a magic carpet ride. He said, I'm sure the caller just meant that it was a great ride or a season. What the hell is a magic carpet ride anyway? It's subjective. He said, because you said you heard some guy on the Craig Hoffman show phrase it that way, you're being too literal. Half the time people say things and they don't really know what they mean. They use words because they don't know what else to say. That's fine. That's fair. I got it. I'm just having a discussion. I'm not saying anybody that thinks it's a magic carpet ride is an idiot. I just disagree. But I've used magic carpet ride as a figure of speech to describe a path, a journey before. And I have different reasons for it, and I just tried to explain some of it. Again, going 7-9 and 6-9 going into it in a horrible year for the division was kind of a magic carpet ride back in 2020. It was. And they damn near beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, a team that went on to win the Super Bowl. That was a magic carpet ride. This year was not. Let's see what you guys think. Let's go to our guy Sean in Connecticut. What's up, Sean? How are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks. I hope you and the family are doing well.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Same to you.
Yeah. I've been trying to kind of think of a good analogy for this, and there's a couple of different ones. First, it was like an old rickety roller coaster that you go on and you surprisingly have a good time and you don't die. Another one is, it reminded me of, I remember a couple of years ago, my family got new cars. And when I found out we were getting two new Subarus, I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. But they turned out to be super nice and fun and very, very nice cars. And that's kind of, it may be a little far-fetched, but that's how I felt about this season. The expectations were low, and I was pleasantly surprised all year. And I think that's a good way to put it. Me and you share the exhaustion with the name change situation and drama, and I won't go too much into it, but I will say I think there's two groups of people. I think one group is mad that it's still connected to Dan Snyder, and the other group, I think there's things outside of football that affect their decision-making on that. I won't go too into that. It's just, can we just focus on what we can control? And if, let me just say this. If you are letting the name of your team dictate whether you root for a team or not, you were never a fan in the first place. I've seen people saying, I'm rooting against this team unless they change the name again. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. At all. Yeah. I mean, everybody's got their right to do it. And you know, I don't understand that at all. I explained, maybe it's not the best comparative, but I was trying to find something that I really, really, really like and enjoy. Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Change their name up three different times. I don't care. I know what it is. I know what it is. It's the same thing.
Yeah. And going back to, like, I'll finish up with, like, yes, I didn't like it when I found out that they were the Commanders. I don't like it that it's linked to Dan Snyder. But at the end of the day, all I care about is winning football games. They could literally be named, like, the Washington, I don't even know, like, anything. They could be named anything. As long as they're winning, I do not care. All I want to do is win. All I want to do is win a GD Super Bowl.
All I want to do is have some fun. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. We won a playoff game. We broke through that threshold. That's what I wanted to do. Now I want to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And I don't care if they're the Washington Commanders, the Redskins, the Snow Globes, the bobblehead. So I don't care. I just want to win.
Yeah.
So
no,
thank you,
I hear you. As always, thank you. Thank you, Sean. Very reasonable approach. A lot of people have said it's because I'm not from here. A lot of people it's because Josh Fraley comes after me all the time. It's because you don't have an emotional attachment. I have an emotional attachment to a lot of things. I had an emotional attachment to my name, my real name. I tried everything I could. He said, no, your name is this. I said, okay, it's more important that I have a career and I can put food on my table and I can take care of my disabled son than my name, my real name. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. Let's go to Franco in D.C. next up. Franco, how are you?
Hey, Russo, what's up, man?
How are you, Franco?
That magic carpet thing is a little bit too serious. You know, 7 games, you might can say you're out on a magic carpet, but when you win 14 games in 2 of playoff games, it's intentional after a while. It's intentional after a while. You got to be realistic about this. Don't no team come in and win no 14 games their first season. What's the lucky about that? We had some luck. Are we lucky? Look at the dessert that Kansas City Chiefs got. They get a lot of dessert, but nobody say that.
Oh, a lot of people think that they are getting, very fortunate breaks and luck and all that stuff. But to your point, overall, right. You don't be as good. You're not as good as the Kansas City Chiefs have been based on luck and magic.
Right.
And to your point, you don't win 14 games, 12 in the regular season, 2 in the postseason, on the road, by the way.
And the teams that we beat doing it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's not luck. Do you think the Detroit Lions was going to let us beat them on luck? No, they were trying everything they had to beat us.
I agree. Well said, Franco. Thank you.
And the last thing, yep. Tell the people to chill out with the name thing, man. Listen, the name don't make. My name is George Franklin Graham. Look, George Washington, Alexander Graham Bell, and George Washington. Benjamin Franklin and Alexander Graham Bell. I got 3 names that I don't like, but I got to deal with it. But people still love me.
I still love you, Franco. How about that? Appreciate right. you, brother. Thank you. Good to hear from you. All right. More on the other side of a quick trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right. We start with the NBA, where the Wizards tonight are getting set to host LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Well, what's at stake, you might ask? Well, a 15-game losing streak that, all right, it might get extended to 16 if LeBron just shows up and breathes. The Lakers are 26-19. Now, they will be without Anthony Davis, so that is something. And it looks like LeBronny James will be in attendance as well. He's coming off of a really bad performance on Tuesday night in Philadelphia. Again, the Wizards blown out last night by the Toronto Raptors from the start. They are 6-40. Again, they have a 15-game losing streak. You can hear Dave Johnson and friends, 6:45, with the pregame coverage right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Before that, Craig Hoffman comes to you live from Capital One Arena for his show starting in about a half an hour's time at 4 o'clock here on the Team 980. Now, here's a story that is something certainly to keep an eye on. Remember the whole gambling controversy and then the ultimate suspension of Toronto Raptors player Jante Porter? Well, Terry Rozier, a former Charlotte Hornets guard who now plays for the Miami Heat, is the subject of an investigation into unusual betting patterns surrounding him in a game 2 years ago, and he's under investigation by federal prosecutors. That is part of that same probe that ultimately brought down Porter. The NBA said it is looking into the matter at the time, did not find any league rules that were broken, but obviously that led to a suspension for Porter. This was about Rozier, in terms of no wrongdoing after the league conducted an initial investigation. But again, it has taken another step. The Capitals are back on the ice tonight on the other side of Canada in Ottawa. 6:45, the coverage over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app as they look for win number 35 on the year. And that's what's trending. All right, about 20 minutes or so left in the radio show, Graham, today. Don't forget, again, Greg Hoffman coming up from Capital One Arena before the Lakers before the Lakers take on the Wizards. They might beat them. The Wizards have lost 15 in a row. I mean, listen, we're trying to be as positive as we can here, but, you know, it's pretty damn bad. It's pretty damn bad. You might hear a little bit more of that coming up in just a moment. Let's clean it up. Final phone call of the day. Let's get to Telly. What up, Telly? How are you?
Hello to the Redskins. Chris Hustle. What's poppin'?
What's up, Telly? You?
Hey, man. So I got to say, the 2012 ride, that wasn't Slukas. It sounded like the red the conflict thing is like a fluke year. It wasn't flukish. This year it wasn't flukish either. That 2020 where Kirk went, I would say that was a little flukish, because the whole time I've been screaming, you know what I mean? Because they kept the same type of offense, and it was flukish that they went all the way in that straight shotgun offense and ain't succeed. Because they neglected the running game. Different between this year, we did have a running game, and we seen what it could do. As long as we build on that, we're going to do nothing but succeed. Hell to the Redskins, Bubba, you be easy, man.
All right, Tell, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, listen, again, everybody views things differently. Like, I have people, you know, that I hear from that thought this entire season was based on pulling a rabbit out of the hat, you know, and complete luck and fortune. Week two, Graham Gano injuring himself he was already banged up, but on the opening kickoff. And that led to that win. You know, obviously the Bears Hail Mary game. Jaden Daniels getting hurt on the first play of the Carolina game, bringing in Marcus Mariota, and still winning by blowout. I guess some people call that luck. I don't know. I mean, I tend to think that that's good depth, but whatever. What else? What other wins were? Oh, the stoink off the upright. There was one other one. Oh, the New Orleans. Well, it's so ridiculous that I kind of forget all of them. I mean, maybe I'm being naive and maybe I'm being forgetful, but gosh, I think they were pretty good. Like, they were not, I don't think, even though they won 14 games, even though they won 12 regular season games, I would not call them a great team. Because I do think they won a lot of games last drive, last play, weird circumstances. Oh, the other one was the Eagles, 6 turnovers, and they still put up 36 points in one.
Yeah.
That's what I would look at. But, man, you remember when the Giants last won a Super Bowl, which is a long time ago now.
Yeah, been a while.
Right? They lost like 7 starters in training camp and in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd have to go back and count officially, but I remember, because that was what, the 2011 season, 2012 Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think they lost like 7 starters by the time the regular, or 7 projected starters, mm-hmm. by the time the regular season started.
Yeah.
And they still were good enough to overcome that and march all the way to the Super Bowl to beat Brady and the Patriots.
A second time.
Now, people also say, oh, they were lucky to beat them the first time. If David Tyree doesn't, you know, somehow hold on to that ball. Well, you could look at that as luck, or you could look at the other 65 plays in the game, actually more than that, and say, yeah, maybe they had a little good fortune on their side on that one particular play. But look at how they played the rest of the game. So everybody that thinks luck is driving the Kansas City Chiefs, luck is what propelled the Washington Commanders to 12 regular season wins and 14 overall, I would say this. Yes. Yes, they got some good luck. Yes. Every team needs it. But to say that it's all because of that is an insult to common sense. The Capitals in 2018 won a Stanley Cup. I was there. You know, I didn't do every road game because I did every road game in Vegas for the Stanley Cup final. But they, I mean, I can't tell you how many times somebody hit the post and they got away with it. Or, you know, they got a fortunate break on a little bit of a phantom penalty call, or some sort of ruling went their way, right? And I wish I could remember more right now in the moment, but they got some luck. They got good fortune on their way to a Stanley Cup. That was supposed to be their worst team of the Rock the Red era. It wasn't. The Nationals the next year. I mean, Howie Kendrick's home run off the fair foul pole in the seventh inning of Game 7, yes. I mean, how about Howie Kendrick in Los Angeles with the Grand Slam and the NLDS? You know, if that's 6 inches different, maybe that's a catch over the wall. And maybe the Nationals don't get to where they got. Again, good fortune happens. It's part of the game. All right, let's do clean up on aisle three because we have a little bit of NFL breaking news. Why don't we get to that? All right, this story just crossing the wire right now. Jameson Hensley on ESPN. Headline, Ravens kicker Justin Tucker is saying that massage therapist's allegations about him are false. He is being accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six massage therapists in the Baltimore area, according to the Baltimore Matter. Apparently, his conduct has caused some therapists to refuse to work with him again and resulted in two spas banning him from returning, according to the Banner. The allegations reportedly occurred between 2012 and 2016, his first five seasons in the NFL. So apparently they have nothing to do with how bad he was this year and in the second half of the year before. But maybe he was fending off accusations. I don't know. And maybe that got to him. So Justin Tucker is being accused very late here in the process, again, of sexual misconduct, inappropriate sexual behavior by six different massage therapists, and apparently was banned from two different spas. And some of the therapists, but apparently not all, refused to work with him again. So I don't know where we go with this, but sounds kind of similar to another story I remember, right?
Oh, yeah. Where was that?
Same division.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. Deshaun Watson. Now, again, every situation is different, right? I have no idea exactly what is going to come out of this. So we want to be careful. Also, remember, the Commanders had a kicker at the beginning of this regime named Brandon McManus, who ultimately got cut, wound up in Green Bay once he was cleared, at least temporarily cleared, wound up in Green Bay, had a very good run in Green Bay. The Commanders struggled all year to find the right place kicker for various different reasons. Injury, certainly a part of that. But they let Brandon McManus go, who was one of the first signings of the new regime, because he was accused by flight attendants on a cross-Atlantic flight on the Jacksonville Jaguars team charter of inappropriate behavior. Again, not massage therapists who are actually, like, there's a difference, right? I mean, not to diminish anything, because inappropriate behavior can happen at any point. But there is a difference, right? A massage therapist is literally putting their hands on your body, and that's part of what you get a massage for, right? There is a difference between that and a flight attendant. Not to say that inappropriate behavior is acceptable. It's not. But there is a little bit of a difference, right? One, naturally and inherently, involves, requires physical contact. The other certainly does not. So just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind in terms of how these allegations work out. We told you about the NBA situation with Terry Rozier. Thankfully, so far, no Commanders have been caught up in that particular no Wizards, I should say, have been accused or caught up in any sort of way in that regard. Did you see Steve Wilkes is back as a defensive coordinator for the New York Jets? That's right. Their new head coach, Aaron Glenn, not keeping Jeff Ulbrich, who was their interim head coach and who was the defensive coordinator under Robert Saleh. Steve Wilkes is coming back. He was out of the NFL last season. Remember, they were one fourth down stop away in San Francisco from winning a Super Bowl and then was fired a couple of days later, saying that it would have, and basically the scuttlebutt was, he would have been fired whether they won the Super Bowl or not because his system wasn't working for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I kind of believe that. I wish I would have been able to see that. But the bottom line is Aaron Glenn, who's now the new head coach and was the defensive coordinator in Detroit, has hired Steve Wilkes. He's got head coaching experience. As everybody knows, he was the head coach for 1 year in Arizona, and he was the interim head coach for the Carolina Panthers. And even though they have no previous experience working together, Glenn said he is looking for the best possible head coach. All right, coming up next, Dumb Dumb of the Day. We wrap up the show right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up the show again. Craig Hoffman coming up from Capital One Arena. Lakers, Wizards, Lake Show in town. That means LeBron and LeBronny. No Anthony Davis. Wizards trying to snap a 15-game losing streak. You can hear if they can at 6:45 tonight following Craig's show, which starts in less than 10 minutes right here on the Team 980. All right, time for Dumb Dumb of the Day. All right, this one's going to be a reach. I'll admit it. Nobody likes Nick Sirianni, right? Nobody likes Nick Sirianni. I don't think Nick Sirianni's as big of a you-know-what as others do, but this is not going to make people happy. Remember the whole tush-push controversy from Sunday with his team up 11 points? Granted, looking for the knockout blow after the Austin Ekeler fumble. Well, Sirianni revealed that he was the coach. He was the one that reminded officials on Sunday that if the Commanders kept jumping off sides in an attempt to stop the tush push, that they could award points. Referee Sean Hockley, of course, as you know, warned Washington of the potential touchdown after a third straight encroachment penalties. Sirianni said, quote, "I said to the referees on the side, hey, they keep doing this. It can be a touchdown, right? And they said, yeah, that is correct." Now, it appears that the sideline official who they have during NFL playoff games right next to the head coach to help them explain things, to help, you know, with challenges and whatever, knew about it. But Sirianni apparently triggered a reminder that they could actually award points for the Commanders playing football. And for that reason alone, and because we needed a dumb-dumb of the day, hey, Nick Sirianni, wear the crown. Nick Sirianni's really not a dumb-dumb. He's probably not as much of a bleep as you think he is. He's kind of like, I don't know, many Eagles fans. Misunderstood? Not as big of a creature as people think he is. I don't know. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to AMAC on the other side. Oh, the glass. Great job out of him. Thanks to you guys on the phones for participating and also sometimes not participating. I found out one thing Nobody wants to talk about the commander's name, which is fine with me. Fine with me. Fine. Coming up next, Greg Hoffman live, Capital One Arena, Lakers, Wizards. JT the Vic is in the house, everybody. That's next. Wizards basketball. Try and snap that 15-game losing streak tonight at 6:45. Make sure you check out odyssey.com/slam dunk for details on the Sin City Slam Dunk in Vegas contest, baby. Back tomorrow at 1. See you then. Adios.